Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Dear friends, let me tell you what. If God's called you to preach, you got one of the highest callings in the land today. Much more important than the President of the United States. That's right. Because you're talking about eternity now. When you tell a man or woman about Jesus and tell them that if they're lost, they'll go to hell, and if they're saved, they'll go to heaven, you're doing a great job. Well, tonight, again, I want to talk on loving of missions. Oh, friends, I've preached, and I've been a director of 3 rescue missions, but this is not the missions that I'm referring to. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. The most lonely place in the world is the human heart when love is absent. Tonight, again, I'd like to speak a little while on loving missions. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I'll read the first 3 verses. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That word charity can be interpreted love. Missionary work should have a vital role in every church in America. Now listen, one of the things that we can do, you say, Cecil, I live on Social Security and I can't give much. I understand, I do the same thing. But there's something you can do. You can pray earnestly for missions. Not only missions overseas, but missions in America. Now, I've told you I was a director of 3 rescue missions in the United States, North Dakota, Youngstown, Ohio, and Moultrie, Georgia. Now, what were these missions to do? That mission, first of all, was to help the person who come to that mission spiritually. We always got plenty of alcoholics. We always got plenty of drug addicts, and we had mentally deranged people that come to the mission. We ministered to them. We led them to Christ. We put them up, and we had a nice, great big dorm for the men, and we had apartments for the ladies. And we had a wonderful 3 meals a day, and I mean they were good meals, good healthy meals. And so the people coming off the street, and they were, many of them, like I say, drunk. And I loved those men and those women because I, too, was in that position one time. Oh, how I wished I'd have found a mission when I was having my problems. Because they could have ministered to me. But the thing is, I suppose, you know, there's a timetable. And I had to hit the very bottom before I could look up. Well, we must pay the way for those two missions. Did you know? Now, this you won't believe. You know who gave the most to our rescue mission in Grand Forks? And it was a large, it was over a half a city block. So, you know, it's a big mission. We took a lot of men and women, and we fed a lot of people. And at Christmas time, we gave hundreds of Christmas baskets of food, of course. But the thing is, people who gave to the mission the most was our Air Force men and women out at Laredo. That's the ones. More than the churches gave. Well, you say, well, why was that? They said, well, I don't know. Unless the church was so involved in themselves and sending their pastor over to Israel a couple times and giving bonuses to those who came. We are supposed to be concerned about people who are in need. Now, just giving people food is not enough. We need to give them the gospel, which is Jesus. They need to know someone cares. Oh, friends, I've told you this 1,000 times in my testimony. The morning I went to that pastor's home at 2 o'clock, I never knew there was a single soul in this whole entire world that loved me. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And when Reverend Tom Baer started talking about John 3:16, I challenged him and I said, that's not true. He said, what do you mean it's not true? I said, all right, if God so loved Cecil Moe, why did he take my sister by death, my mother by death, my father by death, and I was raised partially with the meanest stepmother that ever lived, beat me and locked me in the basement. I said, then you telling me God so loves Cecil Moe? He said, I most assuredly do. Now, this pastor was raised in a cotton farm. They were very much in poverty. And he had three sisters and himself and his mom and his dad. And he picked cotton. And you know what he did? He went through Baylor College, Bible College. And then he was starting to go to Southwestern Seminary. And he quit and put his three sisters through school. And then he went back and got his seminary education. That was the most selfless man I've ever known in my life. He just loved to help people. I recall, and I think he had a mission down in the rough part of Roanoke, Virginia. And one morning a man came in there. It was snow on the ground. He was barefooted. He was an alcoholic. And he asked the pastor for some food to take to his family. Now, I know you say, Cecil, well, you wouldn't give him food. Oh, yes, I will. But I'm going to be sure that family gets the food instead of him just drinking it up. And you know what, Brother Tom Baird, he said, where's your shoes? He said, I don't have any. Brother Tom Baird sat down, took off his shoes, and they just fit the man. He said, there, you can go home now. He gave him some groceries. Now, that is what missions are partially for. We must send people from our churches to serve in missions. Now, I told you last Sunday that there are several evangelist friends of mine I know personally preached in their churches and stuff. And they take people overseas. Now, you have to pay your own way. They don't pay your way. But you ever go over one time in Africa or Japan or China or wherever you go, your life will never, never be the same. Oh, my friends, I recall this one home when I was preaching this revival in Sapporo. This man and this woman were very poor. He's a converted alcoholic, and they had a little one-year-old baby boy. And they saved their money all year long so they could have the evangelist and his wife come into their home. And it was just a little tiny hovel. Boy, probably 400 square feet. And you know what he did? He went down and bought a big bottle of Pepsi-Cola for that rare occasion. He went out and he bought a Montavani record, Christmas songs. and they had us a meal. And that little one-year-old baby would take his little chopsticks and take one kernel of rice at a time. When he finished, he started, "Mama, more rice." She said, "No, no, be sure you eat every kernel, then Mama give you some rice." So we were sitting there, and he said to me, he said, "Cecil, you know, I had the same kind of life that you had. I was an alcoholic, and I was a gambler. And one time I came home, and my wife, I spent all the money, and she threw me out, and she said, 'Don't you never come back.'" He said, "I remember there was a missionary downtown that had a little building there, and they'd invite people in to have church services and give out gospel tracts and this and that. And he went down there and he said, 'My wife threw me out because I drank up the money.' They let him stay there that night on a cot. The next morning, they introduced that alcoholic to Christ. And oh, my stars, he was on fire for the Lord." See, that was what a mission was doing. They were there, the right place at the right time. Missionary work is a work of love. I mean, you've got to love poor people or stay out of mission work, because that's what you're going to run into overseas or wherever. In the United States, it's going to be poor people. Now, the Bible said, "He that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord." God is pleased when you and I give to the poor and the needy. Well, the missionaries carry a message of love, and the gospel is God's great love story. How many times you've heard me say, "I could not believe what I was hearing. I heard the greatest love story that I'd ever heard. Did not believe that God could ever love a no good alcoholic." But you see, friends, the Bible is God's love letter to us all. I've sent some people to Dalles, some of these God's promises. Oh, they don't cost much, $2 or $3 or maybe more, but I'll tell you, every day you have a problem, you take that little Bible and God will, supposing you're angry. It'll tell you the page and you look up what God has to say about anger. Or you feel unloved, it'll tell you where to look. And if you need one of those books, you get a hold of me and I'll see if I can get you one free. To love missions is to love people. In verse 1, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." The danger of becoming mechanical about missions. Friends, listen to me. We may focus only on outward things, missionary things, maps, conference, curios, information about missions, customs, problems, etc. Missionary work without love, without loving people, is absolutely worthless. Might as well stay home. And listen, beloved, listen to me very careful. Now I want to tell you something. If every Christian in the world would tithe their money to the Lord's work, there wouldn't be no quilting parties. There wouldn't be no car washes or cake bakes. There would be there would be enough money to go around to send our missionaries, men and women, throughout the world. But we rob from God. Now you say, "Cecil, I thought you told me that you and your wife live on Social Security." That's exactly right. Well, do you tithe on it? I most assuredly do. Like the Bible says, 10%, then you give love offerings beyond that. Missionary strategy is, you know, without love. Missionary journeys without love. Missionaries at home or abroad must love people. If you do not love people, please stay out of the business. Well, without love, all missionary teaching is just a bunch of noise. To love missions is to love what? Souls. Some love people, but care only for outward needs. Food, housing, clothing, education. Meeting physical needs is important, but not everything. people can do well, cared for, and go to hell. Jesus stressed the importance of souls. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People are dying every day. People are going to hell because we as Christians haven't done our job. Go overseas as a missionary. Be right to be a missionary. In your church, in your city, wherever you go, you should be willing to pass out tracts, share a word of testimony, give little Bibles out. You know, I just thank God for the privilege He's given me with my movie and with my books and my books and my film and my CDs. You say, well, you make pretty good money on them. I don't sell any of them, precious friends. They cost me thousands of dollars, and it's not from beg money either. Oh, no, I don't. I don't beg money. You know I don't. Because my God said that He shall supply every one of our needs in Christ Jesus in glory. And He will. Ask any tither. They'll tell you the same things. Now, missions should major on reaching people for Christ. Who cares if a sinner's go to hell? I care. The Father cares. And He sent His Son so they don't have to go to that place. The Son cares and came to die for sinners. The Holy Spirit cares and calls sinners to repentance. Beloved, there is no salvation apart from repentance. Godly sorrow for our sins. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, He says the wages of sin is death. You get paid for your sin. But the gift, oh, get this, the gift of God, oh, listen, is eternal life. What about you and me? To love missions is to love Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, He's talking to you and me. He's not talking to Jim down the street. He's talking to you and I who claim the claim that we're born again. Our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, my dear friends, how He wants to use you and me. I'm nothing. I'm nothing special. Believe me, I'm not. And I'm not going to set the world on fire. I try. But I'm just a little old person. Old farm boy, orphan boy at 13. Nobody cared for me, I didn't think. And because of my sorrow for losing my mom and my dad and my sister, I turned to alcohol, become a full-blown alcoholic. Was so ashamed of my life. My family was ashamed of me. Everybody was ashamed of me. No one wanted to be around me. I was recluse. When someone come to my home, I'd go in a back room and sit. I wouldn't want to go out and meet people because I was ashamed. But now in the missions, the Great Commission, we found in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then it tells us in Acts 1:8, our Lord calls us to be witnesses. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. He spoke to you. He's speaking to me now. Do you love Jesus enough to tell others of His love? I sure hope you do. Oh, my friends, Brother Tom Baird taught me so much about missions. He said, Cecil, if you want to be happy in Jesus, you've got to tell Him, share Him. I remember when I was courting my girlfriend before I got married, I was telling everybody aboard my ship I was in love. And what do you do when you're loved? You share that with other people. You want them to be happy. Don't you remember when you were courting your wife or vice versa? Don't you remember those happy times? Those dreams, that little cottage, you know, with a white picket fence? But I knew I wasn't going to have that because I was drunk all the time. I knew I couldn't have that until I met a man, a full-blown missionary. He said, Cecil, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he wants to give you eternal life. I wanted to believe that so much, but I didn't believe it until God's Holy Spirit jabbed me in the heart and said, it's true. I love you, Cecil. I can take you out of the gutter. And I can put your feet on a solid rock. And I'll take you to glory, and someday I'll give you a mansion. I don't understand what a mansion is. I've never seen one, but I guess it's got to be beautiful. Jesus said it was. You know it is. Well, what part does love play in your missionary vision? Do you love people? That's the most important thing right now. Do you love people? Do you love souls? And beloved, I do love souls, amen. Do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. Well, will you demonstrate your love in missionary service? You say, but Cecil, I don't have a very good education, and I don't know much about the Bible, and I'm not very good looking. Hey, none of those things are important. Do you love Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you asked Christ to forgive your sins and to come in your heart? If you've done that, then you're ready to go to work. You say, Cecil, I'm an old person. Hey, I'm 86, and I'm still going out into highways and the byways and prisons and rescue missions and wherever, restaurants or post office, wherever I can see people. And I tell them Jesus loves you, and I give them a gospel tract, and some thank you, some will throw them down. You know, I'll tell you why I like gospel tracts. First mate Bob from California was a blinding alcoholic. One night he decided to take his life, and he went down to a dock there in Long Beach, California, raining cats and dogs, and he said he saw something fluttering at the foot of the downspout. It's a piece of paper. It aggravated him. He was going to jump in and drown himself. It was aggravating to him. I got to see what that is before I jump in. It was a gospel tract telling First Mate Bob, you don't have to jump in that water. You don't have to kill yourself. I'm here with outstretched arms coming to me, son. He went on to be one of the best preachers you ever heard. Oh, how I thank God for gospel tracts. You say, Cecil, all right, okay, I'm convinced. But I have a problem. What's your problem? You don't know you're going to heaven. Well, the Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death unto life. That's what he said. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a preacher. Shoot, no. I know a lot of preachers aren't going. Oh, especially these namer and claimers up there telling you to send that $1,000 seed. Now, they're not going to see heaven, many of them, because they're con artists. They're charlatans. You got to know who to believe and who not to believe. And when you're born again, God will show you the ones that are telling the truth and those who are telling a lie. Tonight, if you'd like to put your trust in Jesus, you don't know where you're going when you die. I want you, if the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to, first of all, to confess that you're a lost sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was, you did too. Then if you're sorry for your sins and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, I want you to pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, I'm telling you tonight, Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I do confess that I'm a sinner. But tonight, Lord, I want to open my heart and receive your Son Jesus into my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air, I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. That phone number is 303-471-8534. Now listen, if you can't afford to call me collect and I'll accept the charge. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, I hope that I explained missions to you. God wants to use you, my dear friend. You put your money and your life on the altar, and you're going to find out what it is to really enjoy the abundant life. He promises He'd give it to us. Friends, I've been down and out. I've had operations, heart attacks. You name it, but I still love Him, and I'm still telling the world about Him. And when He said, when the time's up, Cecil, I'm going to take you home, I'm going to let you see your mom, your dad, your two sisters, your two brothers, and we're going to have a revival, and I'm going to get to hug my Savior, because it was through Him all these things were made possible. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.